have a really special treat this week on 365 because Sam Black with Covenant Eyes is here to talk to us about parenting kids with internet. And let's just be honest, all of our kids, young and old, have access to internet. And it's really important that we know how to coach them through and teach them how to have a belief system, a foundation of what is right and what is wrong and how to govern themselves. And I'm very excited. Sam has been so helpful for David and I through the years as we've been trying to instill these values and these principles in our kids. I'm very excited for him to share his heart with you. So before he jumps in though, Sam, can you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are and what your background is and who you're with.
Well, I've been here 12 years here at Covenant Eyes. I'm a vice president here at Covenant Eyes Internet Accountability and Filtering. And you can learn more about us at CovenantEyes.com. I spent 18 years as a journalist. And what you learned as a journalist was you take more complex issues as a newspaper journalist, magazine journalist, and you break those down to anybody can understand them and make it easy. And so that's what we've done with more than 20 separate ebooks to help parents and individuals understand the impact of our sexualized media and pornography on our families, on our children, and on adults. So our mission and passion is to equip families to understand the impact of our sexualized media and to fight back and live in freedom.
That's amazing. And it is so, so helpful. Now, tell me a little bit about your family, because I'm sure that your children have probably played into your passion for helping other parents know how to parent their children.
Yeah, some of the most amazing conversations I had with my kids were a gift from Covenant Eyes because how we used all of our devices, et cetera, I would get a report that showed what was blocked and what was allowed. And I there were some things I would allow that I still wanted to get a report on. So I would set the report to the teen level and anything rated teen or above would appear on this report. And that helped me have conversations I just never would have thought to have.
Right.
And that's really one of the most valuable parts of Covenant Eyes is to use the report to have an ongoing conversation to teach, train, and disciple your kids. It's what happens as we kind of lean on things that don't really work, like looking at internet histories. It's time consuming. You won't do it over time. And then two, things like incognito mode or private browsing, which most preteens know about, and pretty much every teenager knows about, is a way that you don't show any history. And we can talk about that later if you want. But none of that is impacted by Covenant Eyes, and you can see all of that. So I had conversations, unimaginable things that you'd never, maybe didn't have anything to do with pornography, but man, it was engaging conversations I would have never thought to have with my kids. And it was one of my best tools as a dad.
Well, it's also, I actually don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but you said something that sparked and I want to kind of follow up on. Mm-hmm. One of the other things about the reports that has been really helpful as we've been teaching and guiding our children, like you said, it's not all about the bad stuff, but it also shows where they're spending their time and kind of where those time sucks are.
And
you wonder why you're not being productive. Well, I can show you why you're not being productive. Mm-hmm. So just staying engaged in that kind of way really does give you a lot of tools for teaching your children and helping them grow up in a myriad of ways beyond just what is right and wrong as far as what your eye should see.
Yeah, conversations I never, like I said, would never thought to have had, I got to have. You know, when we'd have friends, they'd come spend the night and my daughter would say, now listen, my dad gets a report of what we see him do online. So mind your P's and Q's when you're on under my username because I don't want anything inappropriate coming up. Well, I discovered through one of those visits that one of her friends was being horribly bullied online. And so I printed out those pages and shared them with their dad. You know, I met him for breakfast and I said, listen, you have an opportunity to get really mad, or you can step up as a dad. What do you want to do? Of course, he wanted to step up as a dad. But those kind of little pieces, parts, you know, like my son was, I think he was about 9 years old, and I could tell that maybe he's a little older, maybe he's a little bit older, but he was printing out pictures of superhero characters. Now, something, you know, boys all love their superhero characters, right? And one of those pages got blocked. And I thought, well, why would that page get blocked? And I looked at it, and it was animated hardcore pornography. And so that gave me an opportunity to have a conversation with him. If it had just been blocked, it wouldn't have turned into a conversation. But now that I got a report, that allowed me to have a conversation with him about how people are tricking him into viewing something that he was just trying to print superhero characters. And those kind of conversations are invaluable that equip and train our kids so they can learn to protect themselves. We worry a lot about protecting their innocence. And what we really need to begin doing is training them so that we remove their ignorance so they can help protect their innocence.
Yes, yes. And like you alluded to, there have been a few times in our home where just bad stuff has come after him. Like you said, with that superhero thing, my second son was playing on a game site that was a fine game site. We were actually on vacation, and a pop-up for another game site came that looked so cute and fun, but it wasn't, it was an adult site. And, you know, it comes out of nowhere, honestly. And, you know, they know that they're dealing with boys based on their history, and they know what they're, you know, so they can target boys and girls and different stuff. And, right. You know, it really is so valuable to have the reports and the accountability and the filtering and all of the things that is offered. And I'm actually going to link to some articles and some ebooks that you can get more information about Covenant Eyes down there. For the remainder of our time, though, I wanted you to talk about parenting in particular. So you mentioned earlier that there really are four myths about parenting this internet generation. And if you don't mind, go through those with us and kind of let us see how, or maybe kind of open our minds as to how we may be falling prey to those myths and what we need to do to avoid them.
Right. I see four myths most commonly, and that's the number one, the first one in that group is, my child is a good kid. We'd go to church, we'd do good stuff, and they would never be curious like I was curious. In fact, we parents tease themselves into believing my kid would never be interested in that. They just wouldn't have any curiosity or interest in that. Well, that's silly. Every boy and every little girl is interested in what the other sex looks like naked. They're just curious about that. Whether there's anything, you know, anything further going on or whatever, it's just they're curious. And so it's easy to net, you know, we hear about kids just typing in words, et cetera. So we need to know about that and protect our devices from that accidentally happening. Two is if they did see something, well, they just ignore it. It wouldn't have any impact on them because, well, they're such good kids. The problem is we have a beautiful sexuality that was created by God and has a natural arousal state. I mean, it starts early. And those are just God's design. Unfortunately, it happens earlier than God intended for children today because of all the devices and stuff that are going around. And it does, you might be protecting your devices, but if you're not training your child, well, you're setting them up for failure. I hate to say that, but it's true. Because kids are exposing other kids to pornography. My son was 8 years old when he was exposed to hardcore pornography by another 8-year-old boy. I spoke to a recent homeschool family that was talking about her 7-year-old son was exposed to hardcore pornography by another 7-year-old who just got an iPad for his birthday. So it's not if they're going to be exposed, but when. And so we have to consider, one, my kid is curious too. And two, there are influences both inside my home and outside my home that can contribute to my child being exposed. And the way our brains are designed, just looking away is going to be tough for them if they're not trained. And so that's what we like to do. We like to train them about what's coming at them so that they can turn and they can run and they can tell. So if they see bad stuff, they say, no, I know what that is. That's people who are don't have their bathing suits covered. I'm not going to look at that. I'm going to turn, run, and tell my mom and dad. and then you can go from there. A great book, to, by the way, to include in your training with that. It's a read-along book, and it's called, you know, I would never forget, get my mind going. It's called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. See, I... Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, and Good Pictures, Bad Pictures Junior. These are read-along books and fantastic to use with your kids. Hmm. Number three myth is that I hear from parents is that what I have in place is good enough. We don't allow our kids to get on the internet unless we're there right beside them. The problem is, we mow the lawn, we do the dishes, and it's not hard for kids to remember a code or some things that you might not think that they would do because we have such good kids, right? They get access to devices in some way or form, and so the measures we have in place are often pretty weak. One, we have it in an open environment, or maybe we don't allow them to take their devices to bed at night, or we're on the device with them. And that can only work for so long anyway.
Right.
And overall, it's not very effective from the experiences that parents are telling me about at homeschool conferences. So you might think that it is, but what I'm hearing from the rest of the homeschool community is it's not very effective.
Well, and just to interject here, yeah. Not only is it cumbersome and difficult to think that that's always going to be the case, but as your children are getting older, you know, we have Camden just graduated. We've got two in high school and one in middle school. A lot of their education now depends on them doing research, them being online for different elements of class, emailing people and that kind of thing. It is not practical for me to sit with four of them all the time to make sure that they're doing right. And what we have really strived to do, and I believe this is your all's approach too, based on how, you know, everything is set up, is shifting them towards accountability and letting them know, you know, this is something you've got to learn to govern for yourself, and you've got to know why. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. otherwise, when they're out on their own, when they've, you know, shot out from our nest, they're going to fall on their face because all they've ever known is no. They've right. never been able to actually monitor themselves and govern themselves and know why they are.
You know, that's an interesting point you bring up because I remember overhearing my daughter. She's about 13 years old, and she had some friends over. And so they're like, so your dad gets a report of what you see and do online? Doesn't that freak you out? And she goes, no, why would it? It'd be just keen part of our culture, creating right. a culture of accountability in their home because I didn't ask them to do something I wasn't willing to do myself. Three guys get my report of what I see and do online. So they got to see me hand over my phone like they have to turn over their phone to me. And so we need to lead by example.
Right.
The point I'm kind of also trying to get to is that my daughter is in college. She's going to be 22 soon, and she still sends a report to her mother. She doesn't have to do that, right? It's just the relationship that they've been able to build. And it's not like she's like one of the most independent young women you can consider. Works hard, does well in school. I'm proud of her. But she still wants that relationship and goes, I've seen what can happen. And I tell you what, she's traveled with me to a number of these conferences too. And she just in awe of dad. It's so important for people to guard their hearts above all else, right? As scripture tells us,
yes,
the front of those springs of life. And it doesn't take long for someone to go down a road because you've seen it so many times at the homeschool conferences where people are hurting.
Right.
Number four myth. You ready for that one?
I am so ready. Right. I may still interrupt you again, but go ahead.
No, that's good. I really love it. So number four is boys are the only ones who struggle with internet temptation or pornography, etc. This year, I was at a Teach Them Diligently conference and this is just one example of many that I've heard. And a a daughter and her dad had just signed up for Covenant Eyes at our booth. And she said, I brought my dad here. 15-year-old girl, very mature, just and beautiful, and just, you could tell she was just smart as a whip. I mean, just really, just a brilliant young lady. And she said, I brought my dad here because when I was 8 years old, I heard some boys say some words that I didn't know what they were. And so I looked them up on my dad's phone. And that's what led to 2 years of what she described as addiction. An 8-year-old, a 10-year-old being addicted to pornography. I didn't want to go back, but I just couldn't stop going back. And I wasn't sure that I could talk to my parents about this. And then they discovered it when I'm just about 11 years old. And then they began helping me out of this.
Wow.
Isn't that, I mean, that is so sad. And you know, she said, all my friends are struggling too. So she took like a handful of our flyers because she said she wanted to go back and help her friends escape from the same problem that she's struggling with. Wow. So we can't just assume that boys are the only ones who struggle. That's not true. In fact, a third of women in the church today, they have an ongoing issue, an ongoing struggle with internet pornography. So we have to protect our young ladies, not just pretend that, oh, well, they're just immune from this. Because some might be immune and you know, in the sense of they've just never had that pull. Many others are not. And the younger you go, the higher that rate goes of women struggling with pornography. I believe it is 13 to 25-year-olds, 56% of them in one study showed they have an ongoing struggle with internet pornography. They're intentionally seeking it out. So let's get rid of the notion that boys are the only ones who struggle. Girls struggle too, and we must protect our girls and educate, train them so that they can face this culture, this sexualized culture and pornography that's coming after them.
Wow. Well, as I hear you talk about that, I am actually reminded of a struggle that I have had. And those who have been in 365 for a while, I think I've talked about this before, but I think that there are two extremes of parenting internet. One is the extreme where you just kind of don't think it's going to happen, or you don't want to confront it, or you're just lazy. So you've got that extreme. And we may get to that in a minute, or we may spend a whole nother time talking about it. But I think I went to the other extreme in that I was so aware of the dangers. I was so, I became so fearful that I was almost paralyzed. And I really started making decisions and parenting my children out of that fear rather than trusting God with my children and equipping them to rise above this and to make wise choices and showing them my love through that instruction and that accountability and so on. So what would you say to those who stories like what you've recounted today are just so fearful that it almost takes our breath away and we kind of want to lock, you know, let's just shelter them so much that, you know,
it all the way. There's not enough locks available.
I know.
It's really not. So what I've seen work with kids over and over. All right, so for instance, remember I told you about the 7-year-old who was exposed to hardcore pornography by another 7-year-old boy who just got his iPad?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, that mom came running up to our booth. I mean, she was like excited. She was like runs up to us and says, Sam, I just had to tell you a story about my 7-year-old son who's just been exposed to pornography. And I was like, she sounds really excited, so I think she's going to tell me a good story. And she says, we came and heard you speak. We did exactly what you said. And we used the Good Pictures, Bad Pictures book. We used Covenant Eyes to have this ongoing conversation about what we see and do online. We helped them understand their sexuality, you know, using some of the resources that you provided. And so he did exactly what we trained him to do. When the 7-year-old basically had taken this iPad and just kind of shoved it in his face, the other 7-year-old who had been trained says, no, that is pornography. I'm not looking at that. And he turned, he ran, He didn't walk. He ran, and he told his mom and dad, right? Yes, that's exactly what we want them to do. With a little bit more investigation, because they went and talked to the other parents and let them know what was going on, and with that investigation, they learned that that seven-year-old had been exposing 7, 8, 9, 11-year-olds throughout their whole neighborhood to pornography. The child who was trained was the only one who did what you would want them to do. The other children, well, they were ashamed or they were confused, but they didn't think they could trust their mom and dad to talk about that because they might get in trouble or they might be thought of as naughty or they were told not to tell another secret. All the things that come in and are battling our kids from telling us what they need to tell us. Mm. And we just need to role play and have conversations with our kids so that they know they can come to us with anything, because you cannot scold your child hard enough. You cannot shame your child enough to make this work. In fact, it has the opposite results. The more they're shamed, the more you scold. It doesn't put fear into them. It puts secrecy into them. You see, pornography is designed to give us secrets, and secrets can make us sick. Mm. But if we have an opportunity to talk it through, discuss it, doesn't have an opportunity to stain our hearts, minds, and souls. So we don't want to create this, I'm in charge, and you will never do that, because it doesn't work. What you do is you create secrecy and shame, and it becomes even more likely that they'll have not just view it, but be repetitive viewers to the point it becomes compulsive or addictive behavior.
Wow. But yes, I totally agree that, you know, just that open line of communication is so, so, so critical. There have just been countless conversations in our room where David and I have talked to one or all, depending on the situation, of the children, just trying to equip them. And I have even passed on to them the, you know, we can't live in fear of this. We can't live under a rock. We can't live with our heads in the sand. We have to be aware of the danger, but we also have to be equipped for the battle. And yeah. I am so grateful for the tools that you guys have given, both through your software and through your ebooks and other materials. It's been a great blessing to our family, and I hope that many that are watching will seriously check it out if they aren't currently engaged with you yet. So thank you so much for joining us today. Our time is over, but I promise I will have you back again.
Well, not only those ebooks, you have the code, the TTD code that provides 30 days free of Covenant Eyes. So, and here's another thing that parents really have trouble with. Just one last thing. If you worry, well, can I do this? How do I download software? What if I need to configure a firewall? It sounds like a lot of work. I don't know what to do. You call us toll-free, and you get to talk to a real-life human being here in the United States. 8 a.m. to midnight, Monday through Friday, 10 to 6 on Saturdays. You get to talk to a real person here in the United States that will help you with any issues that you have regarding Covenant Eyes. We'll make sure you get your account set up, help you download any of your devices, etc. We're here for the long run when you need us. Last month, 97.8% of our calls were answered in the first minute. Wow. Isn't that incredible? So use the TTD code, get your 30 days free, have an experience with Covenant Eyes.
Well, thank you so much. I will share all of that down below, so you guys be sure to check it out. Head over to their website and check that out. But most importantly, get engaged in this fight. Make sure that you're having these conversations with your children. Equip them so that as they're growing up, they have the tools that they need to fight the fight as well. We cannot expect them to stand if we haven't equipped them to. So thank you again, Sam, and I will see you guys next week. If you enjoyed this video, you've got to check out Teach Them Diligently 365. Every week, there are even more thorough videos and chats about things that are interesting to you year-round.